all about her. Her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio. Starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson. And leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
Do you remember that song by Robert Palmer, I think, Addicted to Love? Remember that one?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I love that song. You're addicted to love.
Love. Let's do it together and remind ourselves why we should never, ever sing for a profession.
Oh, come on.
I think it's a huge issue. Can you really be addicted to love? Our go-to expert who's going to help you, Michelle. You've got that look on your face.
Yes, thank you. It's me.
It's all about me.
It's all about me.
Is Robert Weiss. Rob Weiss is probably one of the nation's leading experts on all things love, sex addiction, intimacy, relationships. He's got a brand new book, Always Turned On, Sex Addiction in the Digital Age. He's a therapist, author, and oh heck, he's the go-to person for multimedia on all of these topics. So today we get to benefit from his expertise, all you wonderful listeners, Her Radio. All right, Rob, is it possible to be addicted to love? And I'm talking about the female love addict.
Well, I don't know about you, Dr. B, but I have to say, Michelle, you might as well face it. You're addicted.
I forgot that part. Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Okay, sorry, Rob, don't give up your day job.
But since you asked about love addiction, Dr. B, let me just say that, you know, I don't really think that love addicts are really addicted to the love part. They're more addicted to the rush of infatuation. You know, those of us who've been in long-term relationships, you know, understand that first year or two, oh my God, they're the most wonderful thing in the world, and every little cute little part they do is just so wonderful. That kind of fades away after time, and we hopefully develop a deeper intimacy and a deeper appreciation. But people who are, if you say, addicted to love, really, when that initial rush, you know, that oh my God, the person's so amazing, and I can't wait to be with them, fades away, they think they don't care about the person anymore, and they're ready to move on to the next one. So it's kind of like that.
So Rob, is there a difference between love addiction in men and women?
Well, I think that there's a difference in sex addiction between men and women, because a man will have a whole lot of sex, and hey, what do we call him in our culture? We call him a stud. If a woman has a whole lot of sex, they call her something else, and it's not the nice word. But it does have four letters begin with the word S. So, you know, I think by culture, and certainly in terms of who women are, it's much harder for a woman to look at herself as someone's having a lot of sex, certainly get help for it. So a woman may be having three or four hookups a week and looking at porn 3 or 4 hours a day, and she'll say, go to therapy and say, you know, I think I have a problem with intimacy or relationships, or I just can't find the right person. A guy who's doing the same thing will go in and say, hey, I think I got a sex problem. He has no problem saying that. So it's a big cultural difference for men and women. But in terms of love, women are more likely, because of how women are built, to look for that intimate connection over and over and over again, even though they can't sustain it. I'm talking about women who are struggling with addictive problems. And by the way, women who have love addiction generally have a fair amount of trauma in their background. They've had either abuse or experienced it. They've had neglect or experienced it. They've had alcoholism or mental illness in their family. And, you know, it's caused some of these kind of always chasing the endless person you can't quite catch problem.
I
just wrote down a couple of things that I think are signs of love addiction in women, and if you want them, maybe you can toss them out there.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
So,
yes.
Using sex as a means to find or hold on to love. So the woman who leads with her sexuality in the idea that she's going to find love that way, and then when it just turns out to be a hookup, she leads with her sexuality again. And so she's really using sex to find love. That'd be one example. Another one would be the woman who constantly finds herself in abusive or other relationships, or the person is unavailable, and they keep kind of trying to chase that person and make them into the right person, or they give up on them and they find another abusive person and another empty relationship, and they keep chasing the hollow or the empty. So they're kind of chasing a pattern that's familiar to them. There are other women I work with who they'll mistake romantic intensity for love. You know, they'll think that first 2 months is so amazing, with all the sex and all the we're so and I love you and you're amazing, that somehow means deep, enduring, intimate love. And then again, when that intensity and passion go away, they think, oh, well, maybe I'm not in love anymore. I'm with the wrong person. So they move on, and they're never really satisfied. They're always searching.
So it's sort of like they don't get it. And you know, they don't understand the natural evolution of relationships at all, and that they constantly think that this higher than high is supposed to be sustained 24/7 forever.
I'm sorry, you're absolutely right, Dr. Peek. I mean, I think I don't know if it's that they don't understand, though. I would say maybe it's more they're afraid. So, you know, when you start to get close to someone and that blush of first love wears off, and you really start to see who they are, that's when the real intimacy starts. And for people who have difficult histories, that kind of intimacy can be very scary. And the rush of intensity of early love feels a lot easier to tolerate, a lot more familiar than what happens when someone really gets to know you, could abandon you, hurt you, and all that kind of stuff.
Relationships are work, right, Michelle?
Oh, boy, are they ever. And it's complicated, right? It's never easy, especially in the early stages, because I think to your point, Rob, and to Dr. Peek's point, we are, we feel that, we get that rush, we get that high, and then all of a sudden, you know, reality sets in, and, you know, people's fears start to come into play, and mm-hmm. is that person really going to stay with me, and are they going to hurt me, are they going to, you know, it's just... It's so complex.
And Michelle, I would add, are they going to see who I really am and not love me anymore?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know, are they going to abandon me because they're going to find me not worthwhile once they really get to know me? So I'm going to run.
They found your warts. Yeah, they found all those warts that you had. And
so, Rob,
you know, is this going to be okay?
But, is that men and women both, you think, or is that just more women?
Well, we're talking about addiction, so we're talking about people who have a history of some kind of trauma or emotional or social deficit. So they're turning to these experiences for the same reason we all do. They want to be loved and appreciated, connected, a part of, you know, and they want to feel connected, you know, all of those. And they want to be loved, and they want to love back, but they're just not able to do it.
Rob, what's the solution?
They run away.
What's the solution? What's the solution? What should someone do if they think they're running into problems?
Well, I talk to both men and women about creating a dating plan, you know, which really like almost like a red light, green light, yellow light. For example, you know, if for a woman, if the guy is still living with his ex, probably not a good date, you know. If the guy doesn't return your calls within a week, probably not, you know. So how do you set up, in concrete terms, since you're thinking maybe a little skewed, or as we say in the biz, you have a bad picker? Let's sit down and decide what it is you want in a relationship and what you're willing to put up with and what you're not. And then you share that with a girlfriend or with a clergy member or a therapist or whatever, and you just make sure that you don't date somebody who is a red light on your list, no matter how wonderful they seem. And, you know, yellow lights might be smoking or other things you don't like, and green lights are, you know, they laugh at all my jokes and they're always available. So you can begin to put it on paper in a way that you can hold on to when your emotions run away with you.
I love it. This really makes sense. You know, Rob, once again, you've been our go-to expert on everything that has to do with can you really be addicted to love? And more importantly, is there a difference between males and females on this one? And yeah, female love addicts do it a little bit differently. I want everyone out there to run out there and grab Rob Weiss's new book, Always Turned On, Sex Addiction in the Digital Age. You can get it on Amazon and everywhere. His website is Robert Weiss, WeissMSW.com. And Rob, thank you so much for being on Her Radio. We just love it. Talk to you again about it, too. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Robeson.
And ladies, sometimes you just have to go, you know, you better face it. You're addicted to love. And how can you get over that? This is a great segment. Thank you for listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Stay well.